Okay, we are back. This is Adolf Schwarzenegger. How is everyone? Okay, so he said the flag of hate is not the German flag. It's Mr. Rob Fortune.
Thank you for that introduction. Now I'd like to introduce this man. I can't live without you, but 6 million Jews can't live with you. It's Adolf Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that's a niche. We're not allowed to talk about some things. Yeah, okay. But, you know, we give you what we call a pass on that one, yeah. No, not the problem. Not the problem, okay? So, he screams at his dildo, "You give me all I need. It's Mr. Jack Falcon."
Way to fuck, Zach.
Are we doing this for the whole hour?
Way to fuck, Zach.
Okay, yeah. That's a yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, how's everyone doing?
Oh, good. We're doing good, yeah. It's Mr. Jack Falcon, and then we have Rob Hosch. Now we have to introduce a special guest all the way from Deutschland. He has a fascination with genocide. It's Mr. Kraut.
I'm going to be honest with you. Gott. I'm kind of retarded.
Mr. Kraut, how are you?
I'm good, yeah, yeah.
Okay, can you say how you're feeling today? Yeah,
sehr gut, ja. Ich kann mich nur freuen, hier sein zu dürfen. Vielen Dank dafür, ja.
Ah, wunderbar. Wow, fantastisch. Okay, so we're going to talk about a band today, yeah? It's going to be four bands. Jack Falcon, do you want to commence this?
Yeah, we're talking about the Scorpions, Helloween, Sodom, and I closed out my spinner. Hang on a second.
Oh, it's a meat spin, yeah.
And Creator. So those are the four bands. All of these bands started in the 80s or before. Apparently the Scorpions started in the 60s. And all four of these bands are still going today, which is actually pretty impressive. Especially because some of these bands are like extreme metal bands. So I assume they're still doing extreme metal shit today. Let me pull this wheel up.
Oh, this episode is brought to you by meatspins.com. If you go on there, you get to fuck Zach.
Way to fuck, Zach.
I hate you, Gemma. Hang on. I'm sorry. Let me get this back up. We're going to talk about one record from each. So Sodom, we're doing M16, which came out in 2001. Creator, we're doing Pleasure to Kill, which came out in 1986. Helloween, we're doing Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 2, which came out in 1988. And then finally, we're going to do Scorpions, Blackout, which came out in 1982. Give me one second to get the wheel fixed.
We get this wheel fixed, yeah. We get the wheel fixed. Make the wheel fix! Fix it now!
I'm going. Give me a second. How's everyone?
Way
going?
To fuck, Zach.
This is good. This is very unprofessional.
Okay. All right. Wheel is spinning. The wheel is spinning. The wheel is spinning.
I'm going to have to do a lot of editing right now. This is terrible.
All right. So, Landing on Sodom. Let me drop the artwork in the comments.
Oh, wow.
M16 is an 11-track record released in 2001, coming just over 49 minutes long. It's the band's 10th studio album, reaching number 88 on the German Entertainment Chart. M16 is a concept album about the Vietnam War and is named after the rifle used by many U.S. soldiers during the war. 1997's Till Death Do Us Unite featured a controversial album cover depicting a woman's pregnant belly and a man's beer gut pressing together on a human skull. This album marked the beginning of Sodom's return to thrash, but is still more along the lines of a thrash crossover sound. It had much more in common with bands like Suicidal Tendencies. It also spawned the song for which Sodom would make their most famous music video, the highly controversial song Fuck the Police. After Till Death, Sodom returned to the studio and released 1999's Code Red, which marked a full return to the thrash metal sound of the 1980s, and it was met with praise from fans and press alike. In 2006, Sodom released a self-titled record in the same vein as M16. The Digipak edition contains two tracks taken from the 1982 Witching Metal demo, Witching Metal and Devil's Attack. The intro sample to Napalm in the Morning is taken from the 1979 film Apocalypse Now, and the sample in Marines is taken from the 1987 film Full Metal Jacket. Rob, what do you think of M16?
Like a lot of good thrash, the thing I love here is the drum progressions. This takes me back to being 16 and really leaning into changing the whole feel of the song with through drum progressions. My main complaint is the guitar tone. I think I hear some neat chords and flat fifths and stuff, but it's kind of hard to tell. The guitar doesn't cut through the mix. It's there, but it's buried behind everything else, like loud drums and whatever. So I accuse them of using solid state amps. Third place for the week. That's it.
Nine.
Yeah, this band at this point is pretty seasoned. One thing I like about this record is that it kind of mixes old metal with, and it has like new modern stylings put into it. So yeah, these guys mean business. I haven't listened to any of their other stuff, but I'm going to assume that they have the consistency of Slayer, who's the most consistent of the big four. And yeah, I don't have a ton to pick apart on this record. It's heavy as hell. It's tight as hell. There's riffs for days. If you want a balls to the wall metal album, you can't really do anything. You can't really go wrong here. And then when I listen to this, I'm imagining a Napalm Death, Sodom, and Baby Metal concert. And I'm picturing what the crowd would look like. Jomo, what do you think, M16?
No, it's not. Jomo's not here.
Adolf
Schwarzenegger.
Sorry,
Adolf. Get it right, okay? It's an era thrash metal. Sodom is a name that I was not acquainted with at all. But oh my God, they fuck is brutal, crazy riffs. They sound a lot like Slayer. It's a soundtrack to the Blitzkrieg. We're gonna do the Blitzkrieg, okay? And we go in to Warsaw, and now we take over, okay? I say this is the most heavy shit, okay? We get Czechia on board. We go back. We take over the free city of Danzig, and that's what we do. We take over everything, yeah. And this song, everything's brutal, okay? The only song I did not like on this album was the Marine song, okay? It's about a bunch of homosexuals who get together, they go to Ram Ranch, and they do they do stuff in the butthole with the niche, okay? I don't like it. Other than that, no. I would say that this album fucks well. Yeah, 7/10. And now, Ben, if you don't mind, Mr. Kraut.
Yeah, also, da meine Englischkenntnisse leider auf meine Grundschulausbildung geschlossen sind, werde ich heute nicht viel sagen können, aber ich würde Joma auf jeden Fall zustimmen, ja. Ja.
Yeah, wunderbar.
There's a cover at the end of this record from like a Motown song. I can't remember, Surfing Bird. It's like the song that they meme in Family Guy, the Bird's the Word one. And it kind of comes out of nowhere. It shows that these guys have a sense of humor. I wonder if they've ever played this song live. I can't imagine it going really over well in a live setting, but maybe it will. Oh, yeah, this record's balls to the wall. Like whatever Jomo said, Adolf. It's heavy as hell. And yeah, good for these guys. Again, there's so much money in pretty much anything other than brutal extreme metal. And when people don't care and they want to, you know, they're going to continue doing what they love, they make great shit. Again, this is a seasoned band. They've been around forever at this point, and this album is awesome. Let's read a couple YouTube comments. First one says, it took balls to make a thrash metal album back in 2001 under the radar of the new metal movement. Next one says, favorite thrash album of all time. Next one, this is a fucking masterpiece. Next comment, Sodom must be one of the harder thrash metal bands ever. And lastly, they've never turned their back on their roots. They've only gotten better over time, so steady with their releases, and this is one of their best. Is there anything else that anyone wants to say about M16?
Nine.
Okay. No.
All right. Let's spin the wheel.
Yeah. Remember when we did Rammstein? That was a great episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a great episode.
I still listen to them all the time. I love them.
Oh, fuck nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched one of their music videos recently. It was like a bunch of dudes wearing leather in a room, and it looked awesome.
It's 100% heterosexual.
Yeah, completely. All right, Land on Scorpions. Okay. So Blackout's a 9-track record released in 1982, coming in just under 37 minutes long. It's the band's 8th studio album, reaching number 10 on the German entertainment chart. It contains the singles Now, No One Like You, and Can't Live Without You. In 1980, the Scorpions released Animal Magnetism, and soon after, lead singer Klaus Meine began experiencing throat problems. He required surgery on his vocal cords, and doubts were raised about whether he would ever sing again. After losing his voice during the writing of Blackout, Meine had to undergo surgery on his vocal cords and was uncertain as to whether or not he would be able to record. Demos and material were done with singer Don Dokken from Dokken, the then unknown band from Los Angeles. However, none of those recordings are featured on the album, and Miney eventually completely healed and was able to finish it. Dokken is only credited with backing vocals. In Kerrang! Issue 12, guitarist Rudolf Schenker said that he couldn't choose between his guitar solos on China White, so the US and European releases have different guitar solos in them, with the rest of the songs staying the same. Blackout quickly became the band's best-selling album to date. Miney's voice showed no signs of weakness, and the fan response to the album was good. Gaining in popularity from the success of Blackout, Scorpions performed to over 375,000 fans on day two of the three-day U.S. festival held in San Bernardino, California, during Memorial Day weekend of 1983. The concert was aired live on MTV, giving the band wide exposure in a live show. Blackout has been certified platinum. Adolf, what do you think of Blackout?
This is the thing. This music is too mellow for me, okay? This is, where's the anger? Where are the people running for their lives? Where are the military tribunals, okay? There's nowhere. There's not here. And I can't, this is make out in the back of a car, in a Volkswagen to be specific, and accidentally get herpes on your fingers type of album. It is not for me. The only song that I really recognize is No One Like You, okay? It's ubersexual. And it's something that you know, you can totally have sex to, yeah. This is like the German Judas Priest, yeah, of Deutschland. The song now it solidified my opinion regarding that. So I get my opinions only from the music I listen to. Okay, the Führer will be proud of their accomplishments to the German art, because he contributed more to German art, and he thinks that Scorpions contributed to German art. 6'10" for the week. Ja, und now Mr. Kraut?
Ja, ja, da ich leider immer noch nicht verstehe, was diese jungen Herren sagen, werde ich jetzt einfach über irgendwas anderes erzählen müssen. Da fingen wir schon wieder an, gestern sind wir dann wieder zum Wertstoffhof mit diesem ganzen System. Das würde jeden durchschnittlichen Amerikaner überfordern. Stimmt's, Jomo? Arnold?
Ja, wunderbar, ja. Wunderbar.
Und dann, Mr. Kraut, did you listen to these records? Did you want to talk about any of them?
Ja, ich habe dazu nicht zugehört. Meine Vorbereitungen sind jetzt die 2-3 Bierchen, die ich jetzt gesoffen habe. Aber die Scorpions, die sind mir ein Begriff. Die werden auch diesen Sommer live gesehen von uns. Dann freuen wir uns, ne?
Ja, he says nothing but great things.
Okay, all right. This CD is good. The thing I respect the most about the Scorpions is that they know where the cheese line is and they ride it and they don't really go past it. This album almost goes like off the flying past the cheese line, but they don't actually go there. This album has like everything. There's metal on here, there's rock on here, there's love songs, there's like arena anthems, there's some pretty dark shit as well. There's a song on here named China White, and the only reason I even know what that is because Dave Mustaine said he did it in the beginning of the Megadeth Behind the Music. It's apparently what they used to call like fentanyl back in the day. But there's some, like, No One Like You is the big hit off of this, obviously. I'm considering it banger. I was driving home last night at like midnight blasting it, and I was like, yo, this song holds up, it's awesome, this song's timeless. The other big hit the Scorpions had after this was Rock You Like a Hurricane, which I think is the better song of the two. It had a couple more years to be able to cook with it before they came out with it, and I think it's overall a better song. There's a couple parts on this album that I keep hearing Rock You Like a Hurricane, so it's like being molded here to come out later and then become, I think the Love at First Sting is their most popular album. This is like one times platinum, that one's three times. Best song on this album, Dynamite, without a doubt. I could listen to it a million times on loop. I'm giving that song triple banger status. I love it. Solo should make every guitar player on earth jizz. And I didn't really like think I was gonna like this album as much as I did, but I really like it. Like, if this is obviously, like Adolf was saying, this album is not as aggressive as the thrash ones we listened to, but it's still really good. There's some great guitar playing, and these guys are all really good musicians. Rob, what do you think of Blackout?
I like this one quite a bit. There's a 70s classic rock coming into like the 80s metal feel. Reminds me of Van Halen 1 in a very good way. Album's fun, doesn't bum me out. I played this album with the windows down, felt fucking good about it. Second place for the week. That's it.
Yeah, my I guess only gripes with this record are like the bass could be louder and it's kind of tinny from time to time. Normally when you listen to it in a car or with like good headphones, it should sound the best. And when I was blasting it last night, it was just a bit on the tinny side. Crank the bass up and it'll probably balance it out. What else do I want to say? Yeah, I don't know. Like there's a song in here, Can't Live Without You, that I always think it's Kiss. That's what I'm saying. It's like they ride this kind of cheese ball line sometimes, but then they shred or something and then it comes back from it. It's a really good record. All right, so read a couple of YouTube comments. We'll move on. First, I used to go nuts to this in my bedroom as a teen in the 80s. Next one says, no showing off, just playing great stuff. Next comment, one of the best albums ever produced in the history of music. Next one says, junior in high school, riding the bus to school in the morning, my buddy gets on carrying a portable cassette player and says, you got to hear this. And lastly, it still sounds absolutely fresh after 39 years. Yeah, can't really go wrong. Great record.
Yeah.
Anyone want to say anything else about Blackout?
Nine.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Nine.
Let's spin the wheel.
Yeah, spins the wheel. All right.
Way to fuck, Zach.
You don't like that soundbite, no?
Yeah, everyone likes it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're going to play it 50 more times. All right, Lance. What? Like you're not?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Pleasure to Kill is a 9-track record released in 1986, coming just under 39 minutes long. It's the band's second studio album. Pleasure to Kill is widely considered a landmark thrash metal classic, along with Master of Puppets, Peace Sells But Who's Buying, Rain and Blood, and Eternal Devastation, all released in 1986. It played a considerable role in the development of many extreme metal subgenres and death metal bands, with Cannibal Corpse citing it as an influence. The lyrical themes follow those found on their first album, 1985's Endless Pain, containing descriptions of macabre scenes with death and horror. Just like that album, Creator were a three-piece during the recording of Pleasure to Kill. It would be their last studio album as a trio. Produced by Harris Johns, the album showed Creator growing in talent and technical ability. The song Flag of Hate became a concert standard, and the band became one of the most promising up-and-coming European metal acts. Creator started their first tour ever before the release of Pleasure to Kill. They had only played 5 gigs total, and they played their first shows outside of Germany in the fall of 1986, supporting Destruction and Celtic Frost, and in the spring of 1987, they toured the U.S. for the first time. Creator's first EP, Flag of Hate, was also released in 1986. Coinciding with the 2017 remaster, Pleasure to Kill charted for the first time 31 years after its release and peaked at 99 on the German album charts. The remastered edition of 1989's Extreme Aggression also charted the same day. Pleasure to Kill was ranked number 4 on Loudwire's top 10 list of thrash albums not released by the Big Four. Yeah, I don't know how I've never heard of this band or I've never heard of this album. People probably have told me about it at one point or another, and I didn't look it up or I forgot about it or whatever. The songwriting, everything on this album is pretty incredible. I had to check on Wikipedia to see if Dave Mustaine was featured on any of these songs. Maybe it's just me, but there's a bunch of songs that sound like old school Dave Mustaine. Like Dave Mustaine in the 80s doesn't sound like he does in the 90s. And there's a bunch of times where I kept thinking Dave Mustaine was popping up somewhere, but he doesn't. He has nothing to do with this album. This is one of my favorites of the week, if not my favorite. It's definitely a new staple in the playlist for me. The soloing on this album sounds like Kerry King, right? From Rain and Blood, only it's good this time. It's nice. It's not Marty level, but whoa, really nothing whoa. Else is. But yeah, so this album, okay, Mothers of America ruin everything, right? So like when you get to the song Pleasure to Kill, I'm giving that song also banger status. This album didn't have any singles, and it shouldn't be surprising. It's heavy as balls, and I was wondering, I looked up their tabs because I was wondering what these guys were tuned to, because a lot of thrash metal bands in the 90s are just tuned to E standard, but like the writing was that heavy that like, if you listen to Take No Prisoners, there's tons of like really heavy riffs in that song, but they're just in E standard. So these guys play in D standard, which makes sense, a little lower than what normal bands are playing at the time. But anyway, Pleasure to Kill, this album doesn't have any singles, but like that song should have been way bigger. However big they could have been, double it, triple that, right? So like metal was taboo in the 90s, we talked about it before. So now you have like this 80s macabre thrash metal, which was probably like 100 times more taboo of the time, especially with the stupid ass satanic panic stuff going on. So Mothers of America tried to kill Creator, and they can go fuck themselves. They try to kill all kinds of cool shit. The song The Pestilence, 7-minute long, brutal thrash metal, still leaves me wanting more. I don't know. This record does it for me. It's really good. It's when we talked about M16, I was saying like it incorporates some like modern influences into it. This is just straight up like 80s thrash. If you love Rain and Blood, you'll love this album. Rob, what do you think of Pleasure to Kill?
So I think comparing this band to Slayer makes some sense. Like we're talking about how this album came out in 1986, the same year as Rain and Blood. Both albums sound messy to me. Like to someone else, this is like wild, untamed metal, and that's a good thing. To me, metal has to be tight and clear, or it's just Saturday night drunk band practice. I did a speed run of Creator's discography. Like they're still active, they're still awesome. They're doing collaborations with Lamb of God. Their 2005 album is excellent. I love it. I think New Creator is great. I just think this area of Creator like sounds like five dudes met in a bar, decided in drunken enthusiasm that they wanted to make a band, set up some guitar amps in a dark alleyway on some metal chairs, and hashed out some shit. That's why you hear so many screeching cats on the record. Fourth place, that's it.
Nice. Adolf, what do you think about Pleasure to Kill?
You know, there's some people who aren't allowed to have an opinion, okay? We call them the Roma. They're also known as the Gypsy. The people we don't talk about, they move to another country, somewhere in the Middle East. And then there's the Rob Fortune, okay? Uh-huh. So I don't know what is your problem with Creator, but there's a big problem, okay? They sound like... when you do short answers like that, what it makes me want to do is put you in a camp so you can concentrate on your behavior. And your behavior is bad, okay? How dare you? These guys are like a fusion of Megadeth and Iron Maiden, yeah? It's very good, very brutal. There's a lot of heaviness. The Pestilence is one of the greatest songs of all time, okay? And how dare you say these things? Creator, listen, when we were invited to Poland... Okay, we listen to Creator. Okay, this is way before their time. You didn't even know that they were there that long. They've been around for quite some time. Okay, mm-hmm. When we went there, and I was firing an MG42, no big deal. Okay, and I said, put on the Pestilence, and somehow we were able to win that battle. But for you to have such abrasive and vacuous opinions about Creator, there's nothing. You anger me in a way that I'm going to have to put you in the camp, okay? So yeah. I digress from there.
And
but, 8 for 10 for the week. They're very heavy. I would love to listen to Creator some more.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to get a translation?
We'll get a translation, please, Mr. Kraut.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Das Album ist gar nicht schlecht. Das ist sicherlich etwas, was der Drachenlord auf der Autobahn gehört hätte. In seinem Ford Blue mit 186. Mein persönlicher Musikgeschmack ist es nicht, aber es muss ja auch ein bisschen minder bemitteltere Menschen geben, die so etwas hören. Wie zum Beispiel hier unser Adolf Schwarzenegger, ja?
Ja, ja. And what did you think about Creator? You know?
Wie gesagt, es war gut, ja.
Ja.
Es gibt Besseres, auf jeden Fall, ja.
He's such a stoic. Such a stoic.
Ja. Yeah. All right, let's read some YouTube comments. Excuse me. First, Creator was the only thing louder than my parents arguing when I was... Next one says, it's like the band is in a race to see who can finish the song first. Next comment, this is pretty violent for 1986. Yeah, one of the comments that I was going to say was like, I want to see this live 40 years ago. If this stuff is still extreme, like some of this stuff is heavier than bands you'll see now. So if it's extreme, more extreme and heavier than some of the shit out now, I want to see it when it was coming out. Next one. What's this American versus European thrash shit? I've been the thrasher since 1985 and adored all bands. We were blind to nationalities. And lastly, whether some people believe it or not, it takes real talent to play like this. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about Pleasure to Kill?
Nine.
All right. Let's move on. Let me drop this artwork. Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 2 is a 9-track record released in 1988, coming in just over 49 minutes long. It's the band's third studio album, reaching number 5 on the German entertainment chart, and contains the singles Dr. Steen and I Want Out. It is their last album to feature guitar player Kai Hansen until 2021's self-titled. Halloween approached record labels Noise International and RCA and proposed the release of a double LP to introduce their new lineup. This proposition was turned down. Instead, they recorded a single LP, Keeper of the Seven Keys Keys Part 1. The album was released by Noise Records in May 1987. It consisted of songs mostly written by Hanson due to guitarist Michael Wycuth's illness, so all the rhythm guitars on the album were also played by Hanson. Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 1 received great reviews from the press and a great response from the fans. In addition, it made Helloween a benchmark to measure power metal bands. The positive reception took Helloween across the ocean, and they toured the U.S. together with Grim Reaper and Armored Saint. Exhausted from touring, Hanson asked the band to take a short break from live performances. However, as Helloween was just starting to gain momentum, and the time to take a break was just not right. The disputes ranged from arguing about their musical direction on the future releases to extensive touring and other mostly insignificant topics. Hanson started contemplated leaving the band. The recording of Part 2 lasted for 24 hours a day. Tommy Newton would work during the daytime, and Tommy Hanson took over at night. That went between May and June 1988, until eventually Tommy Hanson was fired from the project. In August 1988, Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 2 was released. This time, it featured more Wycuth pen tracks. The idea behind it was that Part 1 should feature tracks written by Hanson due to the similarity to the style of their 1985 debut, Walls of Jericho, while Part 2 would feature tracks that were more mainstream by comparison. The album capitalized on the success of Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 1 and picks up where it left off. Despite the vast commercial success of Part 2, the rift between the band members kept growing. They spent more time arguing about the music rather than composing it. Hanson called for a meeting and once again asked if the band could take a break from touring. In the fall of 1988, Helloween went on yet another tour, now as a headlining act, and MTV put the single I Want Out into heavy rotation. In support of the Headbangers Ball, MTV invited Helloween to be part of the show in 1989. However, before the start of the tour in December 1988, Hanson broke the news to the other members that he was leaving the band. Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 2 has been certified gold. Adolf, what do you think of Keeper of the Seven Keys?
Listen, okay, if anyone's going to keep the keys, it should be me, okay? And no, this album is fantastic, okay? Everything about this epic, fantastic, wunderbar, and besser than own Iron Maiden, okay? Now I know where Dream Theater is ripping off, okay? They ripped off of Helloween. Helloween is what we need. We need more castles. We need more sauerkraut. We need more sausage. We need more everything. And more Bitburger, okay? We need more beer. If we don't have these things, then guess what? I'm going to have to grow a mustache and move to Argentina, okay? Don't make me do it. I will do it, yeah. But other than that, this has to be about the same as Creator, okay? So Helloween, Creator, kind of the same, you know, as far as like on par level for performance, they're both the same, right? But Helloween is like, it's more epic. It's more fairy tale, okay? And there's no more fairy tales anymore. So everyone be serious. That is it, Mr. Kraut.
Ja, also ich denke, das Album wird dann doch am ehesten eher im Norden gehört. Sowas in Nordrhein-Westfalen wird das sicher sehr viel gehört. Ich persönlich mag es wieder mal nicht. Ich bin eher altmodischer bei der Musikwahl. Aber ich denke mal, wenn wir eine zweite Chance in Polen kriegen oder auch eine dritte, dann kann man sich das auf jeden Fall mal anhören und ein bisschen Spaß damit haben, ja.
Yeah, that's wow. Insightful.
I'm pretty sure the entire band of Dragon Force loves this album and these songs, especially like Eagle Fly Free. When I hear that, it's like, yo, this has Dragon Force written on. So all the members of this band are really good at what they're doing, what they're playing. The singer hits these very high notes. There's shredding in here. There's all kinds of stuff. One of my buddies used to listen to Helloween, the guy who I told you introduced me to Megadeth and the 80s thrash stuff. Yeah. He used to listen to them quite a bit, but this is a band that I've never heard really anybody else ever talk about. So if you look up I Want Out, which is the song that my buddy always used to show me, there's a music video on YouTube. That video has 70 million views. Like, that's a ton of views for a song that from a band that like nobody ever talks about. And yeah, these guys are very influential. I'm surprised just like how influential they were. I don't know if this is like the first big power metal band, but I do hear a lot of modern bands in here. Again, I brought up Dragon Force, and I just hear this is like kind of a blueprint that bands – more modern bands have been using. These guys ignore the cheese line. They go flying right fucking past it. And sometimes it's like the cheese line going past it is fine. It doesn't make music bad, but it makes me laugh a lot of the times when I hear it. Like the beginning of this album has The Invitation, which is like a 1 minute long intro. It's supposed to be this big epic opening. Adolf's, the word you use, like fairy tale. Yeah, that's a good word to describe this. That's more the vein of if like creator is satanic and stuff like that, this is more of, yeah, the crazy or whatever, you know, the fairy tale style. Anyway, yeah, these guys do go over the cheese line for me. I don't think it's like a bit too much. I'm still fine with it. But yeah, even with the cheese and everything, these guys have impacted a lot of musicians. A lot of people do love them. It's like people just don't, if you go to a party, nobody's going to be talking about Helloween, unfortunately, but they are out there. Rob, what do you think of Helloween?
Yeah, so I love this band. I used to listen to them, like, not a ton. I listened to, like, the Helloween's fucking solo project, what's it called? Fucking Gamma Ray. Yeah, and I also, like, power metal is one of my favorite genres. I think I like it even more than thrash, but whatever, I'm a fucking dork. Anyways, yeah, my friend in college wanted to start a dirty power metal band with me. He said it was something, he wanted something like halfway between Merciful Fate and Dragon Force. Now, first of all, I've heard people say that like Merciful Fate started like four genres, like the 1981 album, Melissa. Like that's like some people say it's the first power metal album. It's the first, they started a whole bunch of things. Merciful Fate is what it is. And then Dragon Force was kind of like that. That was a band that in 2007 or 8 or whatever, and it was on I remember even before it came out on Guitar Hero or whatever game it came out on, I was showing that band to a bunch of friends, like even females, and like people were liking it. Like if metal is generally a sausage fest, men only or whatever, like Dragon Force was something that appealed to not everyone. A lot of people I introduced it to hated it, but a whole bunch of other people loved it, either for, I don't know, like the uplifting feeling of it. And like, to me, we're talking about like the cheese factor. Dragon Force for sure had it, but a lot of people said, I will go this far. This is so funny or uplifting or whatever that I will embrace the cheese. And so, yeah, so this dude who wanted to start a dirty power metal band, I don't know exactly what he was talking about, but it probably would have sounded exactly like Helloween. Like he wanted something with that had like a dirty recording quality and had like some of that like spooky sounds like that. This band, Helloween, it has like uplifting major key songs. It has like spooky fucking, I want to say there's flat fifths and like some stuff that's more challenging to listen to, and like drum progressions and stuff. It's, you know, but yeah. So like, yeah, if my major complaint about heavy sounding like metal bands is how many of those bands wrote 100% of their riffs in one key, and 100% of those riffs are just the lowest note on the guitar hit as many times as possible. I loved power metal because every key change made me feel like, holy shit, you can do this. There are other parts of the guitar other than that one fucking note. So like, yeah, that's my attraction to the, like this genre. And yeah, Helloween's a legit metal band. It's not just cheese. I don't know. Like I was saying, drum progression, spookiness, it's got a flavor of all these different things that I like. It doesn't sound monotonous, like, whatever. Yeah. So yeah, I listened to their hit, Helloween, a number of times in my life. And it was interesting to like finally listen to it in the unedited form for the first time. It's, I watched the music video, which is the edited version. And this is my first time hearing the unedited version. Mostly, I'm going to say it's better in the edited form with some exceptions. My gripe about a lot of progressive sounding music is how much crap ends up diluting whatever good riffs are actually there. So like Helloween had me thinking that I miss out on good ideas. We miss out on good ideas if we're too obsessed with being brief. The catchy essence of the song survives when you cut out every little bit of fat, but you'll die of rabbit starvation if that's your whole diet. I want some of the fat added back so you get some more peaks, valleys, Yeah, like this band's probably a bit too cheesy for many, like it's like the vocalist especially, but it isn't for me. I fucking love this band. I can take the high 80s voice any day. First place. That's it.
The last song on this album and the one that it's named after, Keeper of the Seven Keys, is 14 minutes long. Yeah. I'm not even gonna lie. It is awesome from beginning to end. There's guitar harmonies in it. There's solos. There's double bass. There's high as fuck singing notes. This guy has to have the widest range out of the people we talked about today. And some of the shitty hits is like David Lee Roth high or Michael Starr high. So yeah, like whether you like this band or not, they are good musicians. They can compose good songs. And the Keeper of the Seven Keys, they had the perfect opportunity because it fades out to blend it back in to start the album over again to go back into the first introduction, and they didn't fucking do it. Lame. Anyway, yeah, this record is good. This is one of those, even though I'm saying it's cheesy, if I blasted this in my car and hotties rolled by in a car, I would not be embarrassed about it. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about Halloween?
No, they're uber fantastic.
Love them. Right,
yes.
Yeah, they are great. Yeah. Let's read a couple YouTube comments. First, 2022, no words to express, simply the best. Next one says, takes me back. Sounds so cheesy now. Next one, bought it as a kid because I love the album pictures. So happy that I did. Next comment, timeless album, almost magic, fantastic voice, melodies, and it's heavy. And lastly, best power metal band, I miss my audio cassettes. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about any of these bands or just anything in general?
Yes, this is German art, okay? And we know German artists, some of them go away after 1945, but these bands are enduring. Mr. Kraut, anything from you, sir?
Ja, ich denke, dass der Großteil hier eine Blamage für Deutschland ist, da ich diese Musik leider nicht wirklich hören kann. Ich denke doch, in einer postapokalyptischen Welt, in der die Bundesrepublik Deutschland zerbröckelt ist, die Schraube nicht mehr nach rechts gedreht wird, wird man diese Lieder mit einer Bratwurst und einem Bier in der Hand auf jeden Fall hören können. Doch solange die Schraube nach rechts gedreht wird, bleibe ich bei meiner Musik.
Oh, what beautiful. Wow.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so anyway, next week there are four bands that were putting out CDs in 2024, and unfortunately almost none of them are out. So we're going to listen to whatever the previous one is. Eminem, Neil Young, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, and Knock Loose.
Ugh, okay.
Sounds good.
Well, it's great talking to you. Have a good time. Take care, everyone.
Take care.
Wait a fuck, Zach.